We're going to look at John chapter 1 this morning for the sermon, if you turn to John 1. We're also going to look at John 5, 8 and 1 John 4, 9. And we're continuing in our Heart of Christmas series. We're going to be looking at the joy that is at the heart of Christmas this morning. And the reason that we have joy is not the kettle corn. It felt like it was the kettle corn last night, but this morning I didn't have joy over how much kettle corn I had yesterday. It's not the food, it's not the lights and the celebration. No, that's all good stuff, all the gifts and time with family, wonderful gifts from God. But it's really all about God giving the gift of his son to us, the gift of Jesus. And so that's what we're celebrating today. But we started out a couple weeks ago talking about hope. Hope that we have no matter what our circumstances are, because it is a hope that is based on the faithfulness of God, that God made certain promises regarding the Messiah that we see in the Old Testament, and God showed his faithfulness as Jesus was the fulfillment of those promises and prophecies, and it shows us that God is faithful, and because God is faithful always, that he's faithful to me and you, and that should give us hope in our daily lives. And then last week we talked about the peace that we have through Christ, that the coming of Christ is this initiating of peace with God, and how because we have peace with God through Christ's birth and life and death and resurrection and our faith in him, that we can have peace not only with God but with each other, and even peace within ourselves, which sometimes can be elusive. But today we're going to introduce another gift that's at the heart of Christmas, and that is joy. And that is joy that is greater than our circumstances. It's more powerful than happiness. As we get started today, I want to share a few scenarios with you, and I'd like some feedback from you this morning. Which of these things, we're going to play kind of a game, happy or not happy. So I want to know which of these things make you happy. And originally I thought about like go one side of the room to the other, but we're not going to do that. I'm not going to put you through that praisercise today. But I'm just going to have you raise your hands if this makes you happy. So let's look at the first slide. So let me give you the whole scenario. So that's good already. Wow, I'm with you. Amen. So I'm gonna up the happiness. So you go to your favorite coffee shop and you're in the drive-thru, and you order your very favorite beverage on planet Earth, and you get up there and they hand you your beverage that's your favorite. And you're like, yes, you're just so glad. And they say the car in front of you paid for it. It's free. Now, happy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Favorite beverage, and it costs you nothing. Or not happy. You know, maybe you're just not into coffee. That's okay. There's grace for that. I don't really understand, but there's grace. Okay, second scenario. Snow. So you wake up, it's Christmas morning, and it's been like 50 degrees all week long, but you get up Christmas morning, the temperature dropped, and there's a bunch of snow out on the ground, and maybe you're the girl there among the lights, and you're just like, yeah, snow. Or maybe you're the other guy who's like, oh man, this is terrible. I got to shovel this. My back is killing me. I hate snow. So let's see, joy or happiness? Does this one snow on Christmas? Or there's a lot of mixed feelings on that one. Yeah, that's I see the conflict. Okay. All right, let's look at another scenario. So your best friend goes to the tree farm, and they're having a buy one, get one free deal. And the trees are beautiful. They're like nicely shaped. And they're like, I'm going to get one for my free one. I'm going to take it to my friend, you know, you, whoever you are. So you weren't really expecting it. It's a couple weeks before Christmas, but here's this live tree at your doorstep from your friend. You don't want to make them feel bad, but does it make you happy or not? You know, some of you are thinking, that's wonderful. That's now my house is going to smell great. I love having a live tree, and some are thinking, no, in 2 months I'm going to have like stink bugs and praying mantises in my house because of this tree. If I don't water, I'm going to have needles all over the place, and I always forget to water it. So happy, does this make you happy or not happy, the live tree? Free live tree from your friend? Not as much. Okay, not so many on that. Okay. All right, let's do the last one. A Christmas puppy. So yeah, there's a knock at the door. We talked about a scenario with this last week. There's a knock at the door, a delivery person with a box, and here's your Christmas puppy. Somebody bought you a Christmas puppy. And maybe you're thinking, oh man, this is horrible. It depends on the dog. Okay, so let's commit though. Happy or not? Does this make you happy? You get a free Christmas puppy? Not very many on that. So I would encourage you, you know, pay attention to your loved ones, who raised hands for what, and maybe you can get some clues for gifts, whether you really ought to give them that coffee or that puppy or whatever today. So, well, you know, it's a good illustration that our happiness sometimes is really like tied into stuff. You know, it's tied into circumstances of what we have and don't have, and that really dramatically affects our happiness sometimes. It's connected to our circumstances. But I believe that one of the things that Christ would have us receive from him is joy. And it's a joy that goes beyond circumstances and certainly goes beyond stuff. Happiness, and I heard it said, I think it was David Jeremiah, and I'm just paraphrasing what he said, but he said, you know, happiness is like a place that you can go visit for a little while, but you don't get to stay there. It's a bed and breakfast, you know. You're there for a day, and then you're back in regular life. Happiness is fleeting. But joy is a place that Christ wants you to live. You know, that's home. Like, joy is home in your heart. And I think that's true, that is something that God does want us to have, joy, a holy joy that's from him, and it's based on who he is and what he's done. So we're gonna look at that today. But today, just for context, I want to give a little bit of contrast with last week. In Luke chapter 2 last week, in verses 10 and 11, I've got this on the screen for you today. We saw, but the angel said to them, it will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So today, though, the Apostle John, he's giving us a very different perspective. It's still the birth of Jesus, but he doesn't really bring in shepherds or angels or mangers or any of those things. He steps back and gives us this huge, like, God's eye view of what's happening here. And it certainly calls for great joy as well. So John chapter 1, looking at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what John is describing here in church circles, a lot of times we refer to as incarnation. It comes from the Latin word carne, which means in flesh. That in Christ's birth, God is taking on, like literally taking on flesh and blood, taking on flesh. And it means that the idea of the Word becoming flesh, logos, means embodiment of what's uttered. It means that Jesus is the very embodiment of the expression of God, of God's revelation of himself in a person, in flesh and blood. And so Jesus is called the Word because he perfectly embodies God's revelation of himself. That he is Emmanuel. He is God with us and among us. And that truth, that Jesus is the very embodiment of God, the revelation of God, should give us great joy. That's greater than human happiness. You know, there's times in the Christian life that we certainly struggle to maintain happiness, but God wants us to be grounded, to have this grounded attitude of joy in the coming of Christ. So our first thing to recognize today, we can have joy because God came to us as one of us. We can have joy, divine holy joy, because God came to us as one of us. It is great, great news. It is wonderful news because God did this so that we could connect with him. He did this because unless he came to us, there's no way we could have ever gone to him. There's no way we could have ever connected and been in a right relationship with God. There's times that we can wrestle with that reality and think, well, I can kind of acknowledge in my head that God came to earth in the person of Jesus, and that is obviously good news, and I'm glad that he did that, but it's hard for us to personalize it because we think, I'm really messy. You know, maybe he came for other people, and maybe not for me, but God loves you. No matter how messy your life is, no matter how messy you are as an individual, God came for you, for each and every one of us. Not just for everybody, but for each of us. God came specifically for you. I was reading, there's a book, Discipleship Journal, from Paul Thigpen, and he talks about this encounter that he had with his little girl in the kitchen one day. And he walked into the kitchen, and his young daughter had a few hours unobserved, and had gotten out, just about emptied every cupboard in the kitchen, and like there were ingredients plastered all over every counter space, all over the floor. It was just a complete disaster area. It looked like a tornado had hit the room. And he said, you know, I really was not happy with the situation. There was like chocolate smeared all over the cabinets and all over her, and it was just a disaster. And he said, you know, for a minute, I was really just really stressed and upset. And he said, then I saw this little note on the counter written by my daughter. He said it was just smeared with chocolate, but the note said, I'm making something for you, Dad, signed your angel. And he said, in that moment, even in the midst of terrible mess, he said, I just had this joy well up in me that the love of this little girl, that she would do that. And I thought that was a good example, you know, that God loves us in the midst of mess. There's times that he's got to look at my life and say, what were you thinking? How did this, you know, and he knows, but, you know, I mean, like, you are covered with mess. Your whole life is covered with mess. But we still take moments to say, I love you, Daddy. And he's like, I know you do. And I love you back, even though you're a mess. I still love you. And I want you to understand that today, that is such good news, that Jesus came because no matter what the mess, God loves you. He loves you so much. And the same is true for us, that it should cause us joy. It should cause us joy. No matter what the circumstances in our lives, sometimes we have circumstances that make us feel unhappy with ourselves, that make us feel kind of hopeless because we're like, oh man, this I did make a mess and it's my fault. But just, you need to understand that the heart of what Jesus did at Christmas and coming here, it is an expression of the love of God for you. It's a reminder of the love of God that he came to save you no matter what the mess, because he loves you, no matter who you are. God so loved the world that he gave his son. God so loved, I love to take the world part there and just substitute, put your name there this morning. God so loved James. Michael. Yeah, amen. Go ahead and put your name there. God so loved you today that he sent his son. Every time you see that little manger scene with the baby lying in the manger, God saying, I love you. I love you. That's why he came. Do you realize that today? Do you realize that you are loved immeasurably by God? No matter what you think of you, he loves you. Romans 5:8. Let's look at Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you exactly as you are. He does. It's hard to fathom because we don't love that way. We don't love ourselves that way. We don't love other people that way sometimes. But God does. Just the way you are, he loves you. He's not pleased with all the goofy stuff we do. But he loves you. He loves you just the way you are. You know, Paul's telling us here that Jesus is not Santa Claus. There's not a naughty list and a nice list, and if you do enough good stuff, you can get over off the naughty list and onto the nice list. We look at religion that way. We look at our relationship with God that way. We think, oh man, I'm probably on the naughty list. I did this thing I shouldn't have done. Man, now I'm going to have to go feed the poor so I can get on the nice list and be blessed. God is not like, that's the myth of Santa. That's not God. God isn't like that. He came to rescue us because he loves us. He loves you just the way you are. And that should give you joy today, that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you were loved by God. A second reason for joy today, that joy can be a constant in your life no matter what the circumstance, is that God not only loves you, but he is committed to transforming you. He loves you the way you are. We can have joy because God loves us as we are, and he loves us too much to leave us as we are. See, what God knows is all that sinful, bad stuff that I do sometimes, it's not just that he disagrees with it, it's bad for me. You know, the wages of sin is death. It invites death into my life when I sin. And God's a good father, and he doesn't want that for me, and he doesn't want that for you. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. He's not like a judge with a hammer waiting to bash you over the head because you lied and you shouldn't have. He wants to restore. He knows that that's destructive for you, and he wants to bring change, and he's committed to change in your life. He wants to change us for his glory. He wants to change us for our good. But let's go ahead, and if you turn over to verse 14. There in John 1. We'll read through verse 18 today. 17 or 18. I think I've got through 18 here. We'll read through 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John, speaking of John the Baptist, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have received grace in the place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Jesus, the Word tells us, Jesus came from the Father full of grace and full of truth in order to give us grace and to give us truth. And when we receive Christ, when we invite him in, when we receive that grace of God and we receive the truth of God, it changes us. The grace that John's writing about here in the Greek, the word means favor or kindness. Blessing. It's like a gift. The grace of God is a gift. You don't earn it. There's nothing you can do to get on the nice list, and God's going to decide he's going to give you grace because you did. It's a gift. Think of it as every day you have this gift that God has wrapped for you that you can't do anything, just, and he gives that grace to you in the midst of all the things that are insufficient. All the things that aren't a family resemblance to God, all the things that are still not what they ought to be in your life. It's like, all right, but I still want you to take this gift from me, this gift of my grace, every day. But along with that, he also has another gift, a gift called truth that he wants for us every day. And sometimes that's a more difficult gift, but it's a gift that also helps to transform us. In 1 John, in the letter of 1 John, if you turn there for a moment, chapter 4, looking at verse 9, 1 John 4, 9. God's word says, "This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." That we might live through him. John's saying, listen, the reason that Jesus came into the world, the reason why God has manifested his love among us is that he desires for us to live through him. That when we receive Christ, when we receive grace from God, when we receive truth, that we find in that this incredible new way of living. We receive joy as we receive these gifts of grace and truth. And it changes us. We become more like him as we receive grace and truth from the Lord and when we live through him. The third thing for us to recognize today, joy is a result of receiving grace and truth from Christ. Joy is a result of receiving grace and truth. I want to share with you an example, an illustration that I read that I thought was a good example of how receiving grace and truth from Christ can lead to joy for us. There was a dad that I was reading about, and he said that he got a call from his son's school, they called him one day to the office and they said, we have a problem with your son. Not a call that any parent wants to get. We need you to come in. We need to have a talk with you. And so he went into the office and the principal said, "We overheard your son talking with some other boys in a line, saying some things that were terribly inappropriate. And we're really disturbed by this. by these things that your son was saying, and that's why we've called you in today. And they talked to the father about it, and the father said, I'll address this with my son. And they told the man, take your son, he's expelled for today. But you talk to him. And the dad said, you know, as I got in the truck with my son, I looked at him and I could see he was terrified. Like he knew he had really done something he shouldn't have done that embarrassed me. And he was really afraid of what I was going to do and what I was going to say. And he said, as I looked at him there, I felt this compassion for my son. And he said, I love you, bud. No matter what you've done, the mistake you've made, I love you. That can never happen again. Don't do what you did. That was wrong. But I want you to understand that I'm here for you. And I believe you can change. And I believe that you're not going to do that again. But I love you. Don't question that. I forgive you. He said, I forgive you. He showed him grace. He spoke truth to him about it, but he showed him grace. And he said, his boy looked at him, and this terrified kid suddenly had this smile on his face, and he said, thank you, Dad. I won't do it again. I thought, what a beautiful picture of us and Jesus Christ, that we do things sometimes that are so shameful or embarrassing, and we think, man, he's going to let me have it. And that's not his heart at all. He speaks truth. He says, let's be honest. You shouldn't have done that. The sorrow you're feeling is supposed to bring about change. But I'm going to help you change. And I forgive you. And he gives grace upon grace upon grace, day after day, along with that truth. And it's that kindness that leads us to change. You know, our Father in sending Jesus, full of grace and truth, part of that is, you know, him saying, we need to have a talk. You guys are running from me. You guys are in rebellion. Humanity, you're going the wrong way. But God is saying, listen, I'm sending my son full of grace and truth to speak truth to you, to tell you to turn away from the sin and the darkness, and it's going to hurt you, and it's I'm not pleased with it. But along with that is this incredible grace that can bring about joy. It is good news that Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us, he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus did not come for you to be condemned, but to save you and to save me, because he loves you. He loves you. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher many years ago. I'd like to read share a quote with you this morning from him. One of the words that he uses here is antiquated, dolorous. It means sorrowful. But Spurgeon said, there is a marvelous medicine in the power of joy. Most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One sorrowful spirit brings a kind of plague into a house. One person who's wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. But the grace of joy is contagious. Holy joy will oil the wheels of life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. I think that's one of the things Jesus came for us to have, is a holy joy in him, that we would as we live out the Christian life, that we would just have this abiding joy that doesn't change like human happiness in our circumstances, that because of the abiding love of God for us, that no matter what we're facing, no matter even the truth that he has to tell us sometimes that we don't want to hear, there would still be this underlying joy there. And people would see that joy. And that's part of our witness to the people around us. So I'm going to give us a couple of application steps this morning. If you have your bulletins, if you look there at the points to ponder, and again, I encourage you, you can share this with somebody, maybe your family member or a friend, but just use that to unpack. You know, look over the scriptures we covered today and use these questions to unpack how Jesus can give you that abiding joy, how you can experience that, the joy of the Father in your life. And then our second application is going to be prayer. This morning I'm going to start us in a time of prayer, and then I'm going to be quiet and encourage you to look in faith to the Father and let him give you a fullness of joy in this moment this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, first of all, thank you. We are so grateful for you sending your Son, not to condemn us, but that we would be saved through him, God. And thank you, Lord, that even though you acknowledge our struggles, God, and you love us in our struggles, and you weep with those who weep, God, at the same time, you invite us to experience joy in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we know that because of your Spirit, we can be a people of joy, that we can have that family resemblance, Lord. We believe our Savior is joyful. And we want to be a joyful people, God. Father, we do confess that we fall short sometimes, though, that we focus on happiness, we focus on situations, we get anxious about things. Sometimes we try to manufacture through our decisions some happiness in our lives instead of just trusting you and believing that you sent Jesus that we would have a fullness of joy. A joy that we can have because we have peace with God and we have your presence in our lives. So, Father, I pray right now, along with my brothers and sisters, Lord, as we just quiet our hearts before you, Lord, that you would strengthen us with your joy. Impart to us the precious gift of joy this morning. Father, thank you that you are glorified in our joy. Thank you that in Christ we have so much to rejoice in each day. We pray, Lord, that you would use that joy to be contagious among each other, as sometimes we struggle to lay hold of that, to help each other to be joyful. And may it be contagious, Lord, with those who don't know you yet, that they would see that joy. And that would help build a bridge into somebody else's heart for us to share the gospel. Lord, we pray these things for your pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.